Welcome to Smashtapieces, a casual walk through the history of the Super Smash Bros. Ultimate roster. My name is Joe.
And my name is Matt.
And if you're new here, what we are doing on this show is we are playing one game for every character in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, from 1984's Duck Hunt to 2017's Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. And today's game is actually part one of our discussion on our current game, because it's our first RPG! Yay, RPGs! They're long, it turns out.
Yeah, well, this is going to be part one of five, apparently. I don't know if we need five parts.
Four is the...
Really?
Yeah, four is what I had planned on. Or is what I'm currently planning on. And I think we'll be able to get it in four. The game we are talking about is representing fighter number 10, NES. It is the 1994 Super Nintendo game, Earthbound.
For better or worse.
It's a game where you play as a character and you do things.
Yeah, you play as a character so far.
Well, see y'all next time. all right, so I'm enjoying this game a lot more than I thought I would. That being said,
it makes a bad first impression.
Yeah, that being said, I can see very easily why both of us might have bounced off super fucking hard when trying it in our early days.
Yeah, it actually makes an awful first impression. Like, I actually think the beginning of the game is very bad.
I would agree. I would say that the game up to the point when you get a second party member is not very good.
Yeah.
Especially in 1-8, because of all the grinding you have to do to fight Frankie. Because if you go in just right after you've done all of the Buzz stuff, you're going to get stomped.
But also, there's not enough enemies in 1-8 to actually level grind efficiently, so you just need to, like, run around and hope to God that something respawns.
Yeah, it's... If you could, like, leave and find some stronger enemies outside of 1-8, or, like, if the enemies inside the arcade even respawned, that would help, but they don't.
Yeah, there's just not enough game yet to justify needing to level grind that much. Like, the recommended level on the Starman.net walkthrough was level 8.
Yeah.
There's, like, maybe two levels of content up to that point.
And this is the first boss we're talking about, too. Starman Jr. doesn't count. Everybody that tries to come at me on Twitter is like, but Starman Jr. happens before that, and he's a boss. He doesn't count. That is a scripted boss fight where Buzz takes care of it for you.
Yeah, and so that entire opening section before, like, the game proper starts, I think that's fine. Yeah, that's a fine section.
I like that section, yeah.
It's the moment that Buzz is out of the picture, it takes a nosedive.
And I think the main problem is that, so, like, for anybody that does not know, all of Ness's Smash moves minus one of them, two of them, no, just one. I'm pretty sure just one. They all don't belong to Ness. They belong to Paula. Mm-hmm. Ness starts out with, he's a healer. He can heal himself. And he can heal status conditions. And then he gets one super powerful PK attack. Or in the localization, PSI attack. But you never want to use that attack.
Because it uses a ton of PP.
Yeah, and you want to save it for bosses. Because PK Rockin' is like... That's the I need everything on screen dead right now immediately attack.
Yep.
But past that, then Ness just has hammering A on bash, and that's it.
There's like a solid hour of my stream that is just me repeatedly grinding trying to get through a boss fight.
And like...
That's like right there at the beginning of the game.
But then once you get Paula, you've got variety. I think there's a reason most RPGs give you party members almost immediately.
Yeah, we played roughly 5 hours of game before getting our second party member.
Yeah, you played about 4.5 hours, and you got Paula and then went straight to the Final Sanctuary. By the way, this episode is going to cover I should have brought this up earlier. This episode is going to cover from the start of the game to Lilliput Steps, which is the second My Sanctuary location, right after Happy Happy Village. And, like, you get Paula, and suddenly there's a lot more variety to fights because she has PSI moves that, A, when once she gets really leveled up, they don't eat through her PP in, like, two moves, and B, she has a variety of types of moves for a variety of types of enemies, and then Ness is just there to clean up.
Yeah. Like, this game, so far, like, the writing's really great. The atmosphere is really great. But from the first section that we've played so far, boy, it is not worth it. And I expect, based on how much I immediately started enjoying the game a lot more once I had Paula, I expect it's going to get a lot better from here on out. I expect I'm gonna really like the rest of this game.
We were warned ahead of time on Twitter by people, though, that that this was going to happen, that the part before you get your first party member is not great. I think even Earthbound fans believe that.
I don't listen to what other people say.
I'm highly aware in every way possible. So what about, how do you feel about Happy Happy Village?
I don't really feel like there's a lot to feel, honestly.
So for me, that's one of the things that was the most memorable to me from when I watched an LP many, many years ago.
Like from a story perspective or gameplay?
Like from a story perspective. Gameplay, it's fucking identical to the rest of the game.
Well, we haven't seen a ton of the story so far, and it is definitely the most unique thing that we've gotten. It's like kind of weird to just see this video game from the 90s just tackle the fact that there's just a cult here.
Yeah. Well, this game is very obviously supposed to be like based on suburban America, which is really weird for a Japanese game.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of JRPGs have that kind of theme. It's either straight up fantasy or straight up Japan.
Yeah, it's like if I decided that I was going to make a game about, like, well, if I decided I was going to make a game about Japan.
I mean, I think you've done that.
Have what?
I think you've probably done that.
I haven't, surprisingly enough.
Surprisingly.
But, like, if I made Persona 4.
If you made Persona 4 exactly as, like, accurate as it is.
Yeah, it's weird. And
because they nail it.
And it's also really just, it's really, what's the word?
Uncanny?
Not uncanny, but, like, for its general attitude towards, like, everything. I don't know. It's very,
I'm not sure if you're trying to say it's positive or negative.
It's kind of negative, a little bit. I don't know. I don't remember what the word is to, like, describe it, but it has this general feel of kind of making fun of suburban life, almost.
I mean,
it's making fun of everything, to be fair. Like, Junji Ito did not pull any punches when it came to anything in this game.
Wait, was Junji Ito involved in this game?
Or, fuck, Junji Ito? Did I really say Junji Ito?
You sure did.
Shigesato Itoi did not pull any punches. Man, I wish Junji Ito made this game. I don't actually wish that, and then I wouldn't be able to play it. It would be too scary.
I was about to say, how have I gone 20 years without hearing that Junji Ito was involved in Earthbound?
To be fair, if I told you that Junji Ito designed Gigas, would you be even the least bit surprised?
Not really.
There you go. See, I could be right. I am not, but I could be. The possibility exists. But no, I remember Happy Happy Village because it's just like, they're the KKK. They're obviously modeled after the KKK in terms of looks, but then, like, in terms of behavior, they're Jonestown.
I was not really expecting to bring up the KKK and Jonestown on Smashterpieces, but here we are.
In the same place, but, like, am I wrong?
Not in the same place, just, like, in general.
But like, am I wrong though?
No, that's yeah.
Because I'm positive those are the two things that he was trying to like poke fun at.
And he nailed it. He really did. Like it's kind of disturbing.
Well, I mean, obviously that's what he was going for.
It reminds me a lot of like Araki, the writer of JoJo. He wrote about when he was traveling to America, because Steel Ball Run is set in America, in the American Midwest specifically. And I remember like reading a bit from his book about like him talking about what the American Midwest is like, specifically how it's a hellscape and how he can't imagine how anyone lives there. And that's the impression that I kind of get from Earthbound's view of America, from Eagle Land, so to speak.
God, I actually forgot it was called Eagle Land.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's the most on the nose it could possibly be.
Yep. It's weird how this is so... The themes and the aesthetics are all unquestionably America, but it's also distinctly Japanese in some way. The humor is 100%
Japanese.
In some way, I just don't know how to quantify. Like, they completely get all the America stuff spot on while also still being excessively Japanese.
Also, can I just... I just want to give a shout out to some of the weird shit that you can do in this game. That, like... The game never even tells you about most of it. I tried to get you to do one of them that I had learned about from the Starman walkthrough, because I think it's hilarious. So, here's what it was. We got you to buy an egg.
Mm-hmm. I've told it Maul's enemies.
If you continue to... It doesn't. You were lied to.
No, I'm aware. He's the I forget his name. Someone that was in the chat watching me. Every time I was like, oh, what does this item do? He was like, oh, Maul's enemies. Every single one.
Through the transitive properties, technically not wrong, and I'll tell you, you'll find out why. As you walk around with this egg in your inventory, it turns into a chick. And then eventually into a chicken. And apparently, if you wait too long, then it just disappears, as you learned. I didn't know that was the case.
Yeah, but it just died.
Then you can use this item called the For Sale Sign, which just causes a random NPC to walk from off screen over to you and buy whatever you sell them. And you can sell that chicken for $100.
Surprisingly, not a lot of money.
Yeah, but the egg costs $12. That is a profit of $88, and you can do it over and over again.
Yep. Also, it feels really weird in a JRPG to have like a currency actually based off of the American dollar and not off the yen.
Yeah, that's also really bizarre.
Like, I'm used to the lowest tier stuff being $100, and it's like, no, like a, like the equivalent of a potion in Earthbound is be like $3.
And I love, the other thing that I love that's just stupid bullshit that you can do in this game is in Tucson, there is a man sitting at a table in the hotel. And if you go talk to him and continue talking to him and keep talking to him for like... It has to be like 25 or 30 text boxes. He'll just give you $50 to go away.
I didn't know that.
You just gotta stand in front of him and keep hammering A, and eventually he'll just hand you $50.
On the condition that you leave.
It's amazing. Like, this game is so unique.
It really is.
And it's unfortunate that so far it's been kind not of fun. A meh experience because of the whole, like, just having a party of Ness is boring, and the beginning is really, really grindy for seemingly no reason. But then you have stuff like, I can hatch a chicken and sell it for $100.
It's weird how so much of this game was so ahead of its time, and yet so much of it is so horribly dated.
Yeah, so, like, there's stuff like when you die, it basically doesn't penalize you outside of your physical location, which I like. I like that. Oh, yeah. I hate it when RPGs, like, you died back to the last time you saved, including all of the experience you got since the last time you saved. It's all gone now. Fuck you. I hate that. A lot of old RPGs do that. Earthbound doesn't do that.
A lot of new RPGs do that.
Earthbound doesn't do that at all. And then you've got things like, what else was I praising at one point? When you run into enemies that are vastly underleveled compared to you, or enemies that you would basically be guaranteed to kill in one hit, it just skips loading the battle at all.
Yep.
Screen just flashes and you get the experience.
Which is awesome.
And those enemies also run away from you if you're way overleveled compared to them. So you're not just constantly wasting your time with enemies charging at you.
It's so weird that, like, all these things that we're talking about are the same game, because it's like a lot of them are so groundbreakingly good, and other parts of it are just like, God, why am I even playing?
Yeah, it's what was the other thing that, like, okay, here's the other thing that I kind of dislike about Earthbound, and it's the inventory system sucks. That's yes. The most dated thing, in my opinion.
Yes.
Like, so the best part about getting new party members is that you get more room in your inventory, your ridiculously small inventory. And that part of that, I admit, is coming from a time where, in my life, most RPGs just have an unlimited inventory.
But also, it's horseshit that key items you're required to have for the story take up inventory space.
Yeah, that was a thing. I feel like Pokemon is what kind of changed that, though.
Not until like Gen 2 or 3. I think it was Gen 3.
Were key items in the same thing in Gen? No, Gen 2 has a separate pocket for key items.
They were, but you had unlimited inventory space. Actually, in Pokemon.
I believe Gen 2 has unlimited inventory space. Gen 1 does not. Just that's a big problem that a lot of people have with Gen 1. And I understand a lot of it was probably memory. I get it. The SNES could not do an unlimited inventory. But also
there are certain things that probably shouldn't count.
Yeah, the sound stone should not count towards a full inventory. The bicycle should not count towards a full inventory.
Bicycle is useless, by the way.
It is, yeah, I agree. I think I gave it to the Escargo Express almost immediately upon getting it.
I took it back. I returned it.
Oh, damn. I didn't even know you could do that.
Because it's a rental.
And then you haven't had the experience of having to give one thing that a character is holding to another. So, like, let's say Paula has a health item that you want. Or let's say that you buy a new piece of equipment for Ness, but Ness's inventory is full, so you have to give it to Paula, and then you've got to go through this entire fucking stupid-ass process to make sure that Paula gives that thing to Ness, but Ness has got to give something to Paula, and it's just needlessly complicated, because you can't equip it, and that's the other thing. Stuff that you equip also should not be counted in your inventory.
There's just so much.
Like, the armor you are wearing and the weapon you are wielding shouldn't count.
Yeah, I don't like it. There's a lot about this game that I just don't like. And I want to like it. I really want to like it.
And if I remember correctly, most of these problems are fixed in Mother 3. but I might be remembering wrong. I don't know. I don't remember having these problems in Mother 3. I'll tell you that much for free. And you spend a lot of that game with one party member. So I don't know. It's a lot of it can be chalked up to that's just what the SNES could do. That's just what RPGs were back then. I get it. That don't mean I gotta like it.
Yeah. It'll improve, I am sure. And I'm just looking forward to it improving. Because the writing and the aesthetic and all that's great. The game isn't. And I think now that we've got Paula, it's going to be great. We're going to be fine.
I agree. And next, in this next part, we're going to get Jeff as well, even though Jeff is, I will warn you, kind of a worthless party member. His gimmick is weird. If I remember it correctly, it's bad. Jeff's gimmick is not great. But also, yes, more DPS, and also more variety to battles.
Even if I can just literally like do his melee attack, it's still an improvement over only having two people.
So, our next run, is there anything else positive you want to say about Earthbound? Because I think we've said a good amount of negative.
The solution to the pencil statue was, I don't know if it was really good or really dumb, but it sure was really.
I love that thing. I love the pencil eraser. It's the stupidest fucking... But, like, they're not wrong. It erases pencil-shaped objects. It's yeah. called the pencil eraser. Does exactly what's on the box.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure does, buddy. I don't have anything else to say.
Yeah, I don't think I do either. How do you know the secret to handling mushroomization, by the way? Have you learned it?
Yeah.
Just rotate the controller in your hands.
Oh, I just went and sold the mushroom.
Oh yeah, you can do that, but like on your way there, you can just rotate the controller and then you're just
Yeah, that just made me more confused.
Yeah, it's
like
it's
I did that. That just made me more confused.
I'm ready to continue the game because I did a bunch of off-stream grinding. Because, by the way, the cave that you are currently in right now, probably the best place you're going to find to grind. Because now every enemy, regardless of if they're stronger than you or not, is running away from you because you beat the boss.
Mm.
All of them. So you can get back attacks on literally fucking everything.
Nice.
And so I left that cave and made it back to Tucson off screen. I haven't done anything in Tucson, obviously. But I made it back with Paula at like level 20 and Ness at like level 23, 24.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important thing is Paula has PK Freeze beta. And she has something else. I don't remember what else.
I think my Paula has PK Freeze beta too.
I think she does too, now that I think about it. I think you're right. But the important part is I have PK Rockin' beta, which means, as I keep saying, I'm ready to kill God.
Whatever you say, buddy.
So I'm prepared.
You think you're more prepared than you are.
Probably. I don't remember a damn thing about what's going to happen in 3, nor do I know a damn thing about what's going to happen in 4-side, and we're going to experience both of those in this next section.
And then we go to 5-ville, right?
We do not. 4-side is the last one named after.
And then we go to 5-ville, right?
Sure, buddy. Whatever helps you out. So, this next sprint, I think, is going to take us from 3'd, which we are both basically going to head to right as we start. And it's going to end, I think, at the 4th My Sanctuary location called Rainy Circle, if I'm reading this correctly. So it's longer than the section we just did, about twice as long. But that just feels like doing 2 My Sanctuary locations for every episode seems like a good idea. It's just a really easy way to keep track of it. Especially considering neither of us have actually played this game and I only have a cursory knowledge of the plot.
Yeah.
That I've lost large, vast chunks of. So that's what it's going to be. It's going to be from 3'd to Rainy Circle. We will get Jeff. We will go to 4-side. It'll be great.
Cool.
So with that, you can follow us on Twitter at Smasterpieces. You can follow us on Facebook at Smasterpieces. You can follow me on Twitter at The Debugga. You can follow Matt at GrimaceDuminis. And you can also find us on our website at anondino.squarespace.com or on Nintendo World Report, where we are now posting episodes as well. We've also got a YouTube channel where all of our VODs go up. In fact, at time of recording, Matt's VOD of Earthbound is at 95% processing. So it'll be up by the time this episode goes up. So go check that out if you missed it. Because you are streaming at the Nintendo World Report channel for this game.
Yeah.
So that's cool. But I am still going to be on my personal channel. And on the website, on anondino.squarespace.com, you can find a full link to all of the games that we will be playing for the show. And we also have a Patreon. I don't expect a lot to come out of it. I don't expect a lot of it to... Well, no, technically it's for the show. I don't plan on using any of that money personally. That's pretty much for the shows. I don't expect a lot to come out of it as it is currently. It was kind of made as a panic move of, oh crap, I thought I had more time before the new Patreon rules kicked in, because I was debating with myself about whether or not this was worth it. But Patreon kind of put me in a position of do it now or don't do it. So I did it. It's still under construction, but, we have three patrons currently, and we got to give shout-outs to them real quick.
Don't set that precedent.
Well, no, because that's the $5. That's one of the $5 things. A one-time shout-out.
Oh, okay.
It is a one-time shout-out. I ain't shouting you fucks out every... I'm not shouting you beautiful people out every episode. You get one. But it used... I used to have that on the dollar tier as well, but I did change that, but I will... shout out our $1 guy, because he pledged before I changed that thing. But the $5 is what gets you this one-time shout out, which is not worth it, but whatever. I don't have anything else. We don't have anything else to give you. I'm sorry. But shout outs to friend of the show, Missing No, Devin McCann. He's a cool dude. And has been a friend of the show for a long time, before the show even existed. We got Richard, who is also a friend. And DQP, who is also a friend. So thanks for your money, guys. We're making $10 a month. We've done it. Taxes.
Yeah, are you ready to pay taxes on your Patreon dollars?
No, but that doesn't mean I won't do it. You can't use this as evidence, IRS. I haven't admitted to anything. Anyways, with that, my name is Joe.
And my name is Matt.
And we will see you next time as we continue our journey through Earthbound.
Hooray.